The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Hollywood legend Doris Day would have been 100 years old today. And there's still a bit, she has a huge fan base out there, loads of fan clubs across social media. And then there are Daniacs, that's what they call themselves, who travel from around the world each year to her home in Carmel in California to pay their respects. And we'll be speaking to one of those super fans who's made that pilgrimage a few times in a minute. But first, I'm joined from the Cork studio by Linda Kenny. And Linda is producer and singer in the great sing-along songbook. And she is, her current project is a Doris Day tribute show. Good afternoon, Linda.
Good afternoon, Brendan. How are you?
Good, thanks. So listen, tell us a bit about Doris Day. I suppose we go back to the start. She was kind of shaped by an accident in her childhood initially, wasn't she?
She was. Well, you know, Doris would be very well known as a singer and an actress and an animal activist. But what her real dream was to become a professional dancer. And at the age of 14, she and her dance partner won this big competition, and the prize was $500 and a trip to Hollywood. And her mum cleverly used the money to enrol them in this big dance school that would have been frequented by the likes of Gene Kelly or Sid Charisse, that sort of thing. And after the 2 weeks were up, the mum said, "Oh my God, this is where we need to go." So they actually packed up lock, stock and barrel, and the neighbours threw a big going away party for them on Friday the 13th of October. And on the way home from the party, the her mum's car actually stalled on a railway crossing and they were mowed down by the train. Ooh. And she woke up the following morning, her dreams absolutely crushed, because her leg was shattered in 8 places. And that was her. She was in a wheelchair for more than half a year. And, you know, she was very forlorn, couldn't see a way out, and was just sitting there looking out the window, moping and listening to the likes of Ella Fitzgerald, Frank Sinatra and that ilk, and was singing. And the mum said, "You know something, you actually have a decent voice." And I suppose
this was a very determined mother. She couldn't get her being a dancer.
But you know, a determined mother in a compassionate way, you know, if you compare her to like Judy Garland's mother, who was one of those, you know, pushy Hollywood mums. Doris was, she just wanted to get her out of the funk, I suppose, and brought her to singing lessons. And she obviously developed this very unique sound. It was a very hard grafter. She travelled the length and breadth of America, like Sinatra and those crooners and Bing Crosby. She honed her craft going around
and singing with
dance,
big bands, kind
huge
of
bands. Like, I mean, that was the era of the big band. Yeah. So that's where she made her name. And then she transitioned very successfully onto the screen. You know, she looked fabulous. She had this like incredible comic timing, and you know, she epitomised, you know, that girl next door, sunny
apple
optimism.
Pie.
Apple pie.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did. And I suppose
then the movies, like, I suppose we tend to regard her as a lighter performer, frothy kind of performer. But actually, it wasn't just all musicals and comedies and that.
No, well, you know what? Her third husband, Marty Melcher, who was, you know, her biggest advocate and her biggest champion and her best friend, he actually said, "Look, Doris is a gorgeous person. She's way more than this little saccharine image that people are trying to, you know, hem her in with." So he orchestrated this transition from that to this sultry goddess on the screen, and her pairing with the handsome Rock Hudson really cemented that. And she got to work with the likes of people like Jimmy Stewart, Alfred Hitchcock. I mean, she was a very, very credible actress, and you know, acknowledged as such. But I suppose when people think about her, I even spoke to someone the other day and she said, "Oh my God, when I think of Doris, she makes me smile." That's they think childhood memories, sitting watching the movies, and she's eternally in that mold, I suppose. And ironically so, given that her legacy has endured longer than she was ever in the spotlight. I mean, she retired at the age of 49, and so she was 51 years, she would now be 51 years out of the spotlight, so it's still extraordinary that she still has this legacy.
What were her best known movie roles?
Well, for me, Pillow Talk with Rock Hudson was probably one of the best, and Calamity Jane, of course, which, you know, encompassed all the different roles roles, the comedic timing, the sparring with Howard Keel, the singing, the dancing. It had everything. And of course, the whole romantic side of things. And it gave birth to that beautiful song, Secret Love, which was actually won an Oscar, ultimately.
OK, I think we have a little clip of Secret Love here.
Yeah.
That's like, it's like eating spoons of sugar, isn't it? And
it's smooth,
caramelized, caramelized sugar. Yeah. And listen, it's funny you say about her kind of retiring completely at 49. She kind of always caught and ran, didn't she? So she got out of the movies at a particular point, didn't she?
Yeah, well, she was filming in Marrakesh with Hitchcock, and she saw the way animals were being mistreated, and it really, really affected her. And she said, look, I want out. But unfortunately, her husband, Marty, died of this mysterious illness. They were both Christian Scientists, so they had no idea what he died of. And she was devastated, but then doubly devastated when a couple of weeks later she found out that Marty and his business associate had actually embezzled all her money. And
this
lost.
Was Marty who did so much for her career and everything.
Yeah. Okay. And he lost, I mean, we're talking like $22 million, that sort of way. So she was destitute and widowed in the space of a very short time. So she actually had to go back in, and she worked for another 5 years on The Doris Day Show, which won a Golden Globe and did really well for her. But it meant that she was able to pay all her bills. She ultimately did sue that business associate, actually, and got one of, it was a landmark legal case in the States where she got awarded the full $23 million. I don't think she actually ended up getting $23 million, but, you know, she had a moral victory and a couple of quid in her back pocket to retire with.
And then, so at 49, she retires to Carmel.
Or by the sea, yeah.
By the sea. Mm-hmm. And the rest of her life then was animal welfare, really.
She devoted her time to, she set up a pet sanctuary, and she actually set up this hotel called the Cypress Inn Hotel, which basically you could go with your favourite doggy and you'd be put up in luxury and the dog would be put up in luxury, and the dogs were allowed to roam freely around the hotel. Most unusual, but really just in keeping with her.
She
was ahead of her time.
I feel soon that there'd be just hotels for the dogs and the humans would be tolerated there. The humans would be allowed to walk around after them picking up their waste, but it'll be mainly about keeping the dog happy.
I know.
Yeah, anyway, you were going to say?
No, I was going to say, so, you know, it is gorgeous to mark her birthday. You know, I feel it's a kind of a privilege to do that. We had done a show a couple of years ago, and actually we were in the concert hall a couple of days after she died, and it's funny how I couldn't believe the outpouring of love for Doris and even
really,
people, because we had done, I suppose I had done a lot of Doris.
So you do the sing-alongs for different, themed around different people.
We do.
At different times.
So we celebrate the lives of movie and musical icons. And we tell their story. We use a giant screen. We project the lyrics and everyone sings along. It's fantastic. We use video and photographs. And it's really, really well researched by our director, Colin McCabe. And so we bring their stories to life. And basically the audience are like us on stage. We are like a little travelling, we're like the travelling family. Now there's 9 of us, big band, and Alf McCarthy tells the story brilliantly, and so we tell her the story and then the audience just are part of the performance. We have so much fun with everyone, and so it's only
I'd say that's lovely for older people to go back.
It is, and the thing about Doris is she's cross generational. I mean, you know, it's nostalgic. Loads of people remember watching Doris. You know, they'll say, "Oh, I remember sitting with my dad, or sitting with my granny, or whatever." So she seems to unify the age groups. She's not just for an older age group, but obviously we do have an older age group who come to our concerts too. Yeah, and it's great. great. But I was going to say that when she passed away, that it was funny how people were actually ringing me as if it was someone from my family. You know what I mean? But she had that. She had that. I don't know, way of connecting people, and she was a genuinely nice person. You know, her absolute talents aside, she was a genuinely nice person.
Okay, well, on the line now we have Daniac, and a woman who travelled to Carmel on the Sea when Doris was still alive. Ruth Walton, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So when did you become a Daniac?
I think the term only grew maybe 5-6 years ago for me, but I have always been a Doris Day fan, whether it's sitting down watching movies, you know, one after the other, or just listening to the music. Doris Day was always a light in my world.
And then you got the gift of the trip to Carmel on the Sea.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yes. Well, it was coming up to my 60th birthday. My husband very kindly organised a trip where we could go. We're part of the Doris Day Animal Foundation, and they would send out emails to let you know what's up and coming, what celebrations, what items they might have for sale. And they mentioned the Carmel celebration. So I didn't think in any one way I would be able to get there. You know, it's a long, long way and strange and everything. But we got the tickets. My husband organised it. He organised lovely first-class travel, and away we went. And I just absolutely had a ball.
And tell me about, this is extraordinary. What happened on the day of her birthday then?
Well, on the day of her birthday, we went out to the golf course, which is on the Quail Lodge golf course in Carmel. And Doris's home, her lovely balcony at Overlook, overlooked this golf course. So a number of us went out to the course. The golf club actually stopped the golfers playing for maybe half an hour, and we were able to walk along. Doris came out onto the balcony, and of course there was lots of celebration. There were tears even then just to be able to see Doris come out onto that
balcony. I can
imagine,
yeah.
And some of her co-stars from the like of The Thrill of It All, Bram Nash, was there at the golf course, and he shouted up and spoke to her. They got a phone rigged up that we were all able to hear Doris speaking back to Brian.
Incredible.
And then certain people were allowed to speak to her. Well, I just plagued the lady that was holding the phone. I just plagued her. And eventually she said, right, okay, you can go. So I couldn't believe it. I was going to speak to Doris. She was on the balcony. And I just said, oh, hello, my name's Ruth Walton. I've travelled from Ireland, Northern Ireland. And she said, oh, I didn't know you were here. Well, I thought, she's got my cards and letters. That was silly. I think Doris was just a bit overcome and she got very emotional. And everyone, I got emotional.
Oh, God, I bet you did. What an incredible moment for you.
I handed the phone very quickly back, thinking I'm going to be in trouble. I've made Doris cry. But honestly, everybody was crying. The tears, everybody was in tears.
Stop,
but
I can
Doris
imagine.
Was there. You have no idea of the love that is there for Doris. In Carmel, when we all meet up a couple of times, well, I've been twice. We were to go in 2020, but of course, COVID put a stop to that. I should have been there this weekend, but I had a dental emergency and had to cancel everything.
But listen, you couldn't top that visit in 2016.
No,
that's a fantastic story. Thanks so much, Ruth.
No, I couldn't. And people at first were, you really spoke to Doris? Yes, I did. Absolutely my idol.
Fantastic. Listen, Linda Kenny and Ruth Walton, thank you both so much. And you can catch the great sing-along songbook Secret Love, The Doris Day Story on tour around the country from next Sunday, April 10th. And you'll find it on Facebook, Instagram. Look up wherever your place of choice is. Thanks, guys. We'll take a break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.